This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Living Life Single, the show that embraces laughter whilst exploring everything about single life. Join us as we discuss life topics with a single slant, as we find acceptance and learn to embrace our singledom. Living Life Single, where being single means you're never by yourself.
Good afternoon, Melbourne, Australia. I hope everyone is well on this. Well, down in Melbourne, it's a dreary day, but we're not going to talk about that. And I want to actually welcome my special guest host for today, Mr. Jason Lee. He's back from last week.
Hello, hello. I don't know if special guest, the second, third time round is well, enough to right? be special guest.
A friend of the show.
Hello, everyone. Happy Saturday.
And you're here because unfortunately, Jono had some minor procedure yesterday, so he's recovering. I spoke with him yesterday. This morning. He's doing very, very well.
Fantastic.
He's very sad that he can't be here today because we've got a very special guest on today, right?
We do.
What's the topic for today, Jason?
Today's topic is being single at 70.
Yes.
And 70, sorry.
At 70, that's right, being single and 70. And we have a very, very exciting special guest who is a former Australian professional tennis star.
I know, right?
It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
But have you been good this week?
Yes, I have been good. It's been great. Good. I've been looking forward to doing this show with you again.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, very excited.
Amazing.
Today, we are going to be talking about being single and 70.
Yes.
And we've got a former Australian professional tennis star
with us indeed.
And I won't steal the thunder today because Yanni's very excited. We're all very excited.
Yes.
But Yanni, why don't you introduce
her? Yeah, look, our special guest today is an absolute legend of Australian tennis. Mm-hmm. She burst onto the professional scene back in the 1970s, okay? She has competed all over the world and reaching a career high double ranking of number 18. That's amazing, right?
It's amazing.
Like she's played alongside some of the greatest guests, right, which we're going to get to later on. And look, after retiring from touring, she began working in the Women's Tennis Association, mentoring players, advocating for fairness and opening doors for the next generation, which I think is just fabulous. And then just last year, in 2024, she was honoured with the Spirit of Tennis Award, recognising her incredible impact on the game, both on and off the court, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? These days, she's living life to the fullest. Like, she's travelling all over the world, embracing her independence, adventure, and all the joys of being single in her 70s. So, please welcome to Living Life Single, the amazing Pam Whitecross. Pam, welcome to Living Life Single.
Well, thank you, Yanni. That was a lovely introduction.
How are you doing today?
Pretty well, thank you. I'm looking over the beautiful Victorian High Country, looking towards Mount Buller.
Fabulous.
Yes, a few clouds around, but no, it's very, it's quite nice up here.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm just visiting my family, so yes.
Great. Now, Pam, let's kick it off. Let's tell us a little bit about your history and playing tennis. What was that like? How did that all happen for you back in the 70s?
Back in the dim dark.
I'm sure you made it brighter though, Pam, right?
Well, thank you. No, look, my family played tennis, and as a youngster we'd go along on Saturdays, my brother and I, and I just got hooked on the game and showed some ability and played a lot of junior tournaments around Melbourne, country tournaments around Victoria, and you know, became pretty good at it, and then decided
I love it.
Number 18, pretty good.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And when did you start touring? Because you were fairly young, right?
Yes, I was, and it's amazing to think that my parents let me go overseas at the age of 19, back in the day when there was no internet back then, we didn't have mobile phones, In fact, when I was away for the first 6 months, you probably could only afford to phone home two or three times.
Oh my God. I was still getting drunk at 19, Pam. Like, I don't know how. I barely knew what the hell I was doing. And you were just there, just, that's phenomenal. Was that scary?
Yes, well, it was a bit scary, but you didn't think about it then. You know, you thought you were, invincible, I guess we thought. And you went away with two or three other girls. You travelled with your doubles partner back in the day. And,
yeah, right.
His partner was a girl from Adelaide, and to get into tournaments back then, we had to write to tournaments months ahead of time.
Really?
And work out we had to write to tournaments and seek permission, and we'd have to wait on letters coming back. So you never really knew where you were going. You had a broad idea. We headed, our first tournament was actually in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
Wow. Oh my God.
And then we went through. Then we went to England and played all the leading tournaments to try and enter Wimbledon, which we were able to get into the qualifying. We didn't qualify at the time, but then, yes, as the years progressed, then the Women's Tennis Association was formed and things became a lot more professional. But in the early days, it wasn't so easy.
I can imagine that, you know, traveling overseas now can be tough. So I imagine in those days, it probably would have been a lot more challenging.
All that traveling would have been very character building for you. So what did you learn about yourself through all those tours and travels and being traveling at such a young age?
Yes, well, I think you certainly gained a lot of independence, a lot of organisational skills, mostly. As I was saying, you know, we had to arrange our own schedules and that sort of thing. Plus we didn't have the money to have coaches travel with us or anything like that. Nothing like what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. So what, no manager, no entourage, Pam? Like
No, none of that. In fact, I sort of liken our early days to sort of a backpacker tour.
I love that backpacking solo, right?
Well, there was, a group of guys and girls all travelling. We were all going to similar places. So, yes, it was just organising.
And was it very camaraderie? Were they like was that your pack? Was that your community, Pam?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And my best friends today are from that era.
Wow.
I mean, sadly, I don't have any school friends that I'm in touch with, which I'd love to, and maybe I'll try to before I leave this earth. But, my best friends are all from my travelling days.
Grow up fast, I suppose. You'd really grow up fast and build these bonds with people.
Yes, you had to, Jason. Mm.
And how did you keep that friendship going all these years, Pam? What did you do to sort of maintain that in throughout your life?
Well, a lot of us still kept travelling for several years together. So, you know, we did form a bond.
Mm.
Most of the girls were from Melbourne, some from the Sydney area. Another couple of girls from Perth and Adelaide. So, and then when you came back from overseas, you would play the Australian circuit as well. So we were always in touch with each other.
Mm.
And
That's great.
We've been very firm friends.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. Well, on that note, like, how do you kind of continue? Because I would assume you travelled from 17 to early 20s or maybe even longer, but how do you make this sense of community and connection?
Well, I kept playing until I was 33.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
How did the body hold up?
Well, back in those days, look, it wasn't the grind so much as it is now.
Yeah, okay.
And obviously, when you didn't do so well in a tournament, you
Come on, Pam. I'm sure you smashed it every time, right? Come on.
No, there were a lot of weeks where you were out in the first round. So
yeah, right. Does that mean you went and partied? Did you party hard, Pam? Was that it?
We were known to celebrate every now and then.
Oh, I want to hear those stories. They sound like fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, back in the days, there's certainly a lot of small tournaments around Italy. We had a lot of fun driving from place to place and, you know, stacked up with suitcases in the car and barely any room for us to be in the car. But, there was a lot of fun back in those days too.
And Pam, how did being, I'm going to make an assumption here, so correct me if I'm wrong, how did being single back in those days, what was that like? How did that help you, I guess, now and sort of build that character? Or was your chosen family, i.e. your camaraderie, were they the ones that you all relied on if everyone was single?
Well, absolutely you did. You did rely on that. And you had, as I said before, you normally travelled for that season with a particular person, your doubles partner. You played that whole season with them. So you did rely on those people. And as I said too earlier, you didn't phone home. You'd only phone home on your birthday or, you know, your parents' birthday or that sort of thing. So you definitely, we formed very strong friendships back in those. We probably didn't realise it at the time, but now, and I have, you know, enormous friendships with people from those eras, definitely.
Yeah, friends for life. Yeah. I think, when you go through something with a friend, right, when something that only a group of you or an individual or the two of you or whoever it is go through something together that's unique to you, that kind of bonds you, right, for life if you make that effort. And I guess my question to you, Pam, is with your friends that you are still friends with now, is it that you've made the effort to keep in contact with that you know, you're regularly either calling them, texting them, or is it that you see them when, because you're very busy, right? You're travelling overseas regularly, or is it that you still see them there?
A bit of both. Look, I do try and keep in touch as much as I can, but there are times when you don't and vice versa. But it doesn't matter. When we do catch up, it's like it was yesterday.
Mm, yeah, that's the best.
And that's what these true friendships are. It doesn't matter if we haven't been in contact for a week, 6 months, a year. When we do, it's like it was yesterday. And of course, in this day and age, we've all got our mobile phones and WhatsApp and FaceTiming. So that really does help. That keeps you connected with everybody. With
everyone, yeah. And I guess there's nothing like coming home, isn't that right, Pam? Because speaking of coming home, I've got a very special song for you. I think this is the one that is special to you. Why is this next song special to you, Pam?
Well, I love this song because the words in it, which you'll hear, are talking about coming home and wrapping your arms around the ones that you love. And, of course, the ones I love are my family.
And, awesome. That is beautiful. And you know what? We're going to talk about more about that, more about being single at 70.
I had a question. You played a match at Mardi Gras in Sydney in 1994 with Chris O'Neill and yourself, obviously competing in the women's doubles. And I understand you guys have won a number of WA titles as well. But going back to the topic of Mardi Gras and that match, how did that experience impact you and shape you?
Well, that's a while back, and you've done some digging.
We do our research, absolutely.
I'd forgotten about that one, but
so no one backed. I'm sure, though, the match would have meant a lot for many people in Australia. I think
yes, and. Look, it would have been fun, and we clearly it was a good time. But as to how it shaped us, well, yeah, we've remained, Chris and I have remained great friends to this day. In fact, she's probably listening right now. So Hi, Chris.
And Pam, so I really want to sort of delve a little deeper. You know, I'm so happy that we've got you on the show for a number of reasons, but we want to spread diversity on this show. And, you know, mainly it's been Jono and myself, and we're two middle-aged men talking about what it's like to be single. But we know a lot of listeners have a variety of – they're in different parts of their stage in their lives. And what we want to do is engage and understand what it's like being single in your 70s. And I guess the initial question that I have is you know, our tag, you know, part of this show is all about embracing your singledom. So what do you do, Pam, to embrace your singledom?
Well, I'm still working, so that does help.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. How does that help?
Well, obviously when you're single, you can also be very lonely. And I think that's, you know, that's something obviously I haven't been in a relationship for more than 20 years. So,
yeah, right.
You know, but it's difficult with what I do because I'm still travelling the world for at least 6 months a year. And so, yes, to have a partner, you need someone that's very understanding, and you always, well, I always thought that the one that was at home was amongst the friends and, you know, would survive better, but no, that's not always the case, and it wasn't in my case anyway.
So you're, one of the things you do is work, and it's really fascinating because we spoke with Spanky Jackson. I don't know if you've heard of Spanky Jackson, Pam. She won RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, and she is in a part of her time in her life at the moment where things are going, she's working nonstop. She has no time for a relationship, and work is, same with you, is that is how she's embracing her singledom, through her work. So it's really interesting how work is our companion. Would you regard that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I say to many people that I'm married to the job.
Mm. In a good way?
Well, yes. But the job becomes your partner. I mean, what I'm, you know, still obviously working in tennis, and I've just recently come back from tournaments in China and Japan.
Yeah, amazing.
And I work, the WTA who I work for, they're based in Florida. So when, you know, we have a lot of work calls, et cetera, et cetera, I'm on the phone sometimes at 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning on a call. Yeah, so there's obviously the time zones. There's several of us are located all around the world. So to manage a call, it's got to be early in the morning for those in Florida. The Europeans get it in the middle of the day, and those of us over here in Australia have to wait till late at night. So yes, it makes it very difficult to have a relationship when work gets in the way, to be honest.
And do you feel that? And look, this is not a, you know, we're definitely not a show about needing a relationship. We're the opposite. We're saying, you know what? We're single. We know it's tough. We don't need to be in a relationship. So we're like, this is how we embrace our singledom. What happens when you get home, Margaret, and for those 6 months when you are in Australia, how do you, when you're not, I guess, working overseas, what do you do to embrace your singledom?
Yes, well, when I'm home, I mean, obviously, I've got a very close family, and I enjoy my time with them. In fact, I'm down this weekend with family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put a lot of energy into helping them, especially a few years ago. I actually moved to a regional city to be with one of my niece and her family.
And that works both ways, right? That works both ways. So you're getting something out of it, your niece is getting something out of it. And what I'm hearing, Pam, is that that sometimes as single people, it's very easy for us to sort of play a victim and sort of go, oh, I'm single, I'm by myself and all that. But I think you hit the nail on the head was you've got to do the work, you've got to make the effort. And is that... is that something that you've done through your whole life? So then when you do get to 70, all that kind of hard work is paying off because you've got that that closeness, that love with your family, and you are still making that effort, but it's coming back to you now.
Absolutely. I mean, they fill up my heart. There's no doubt about it. And it's there's more in the family as well. So, yes, it does go both ways. You're absolutely right.
And do you recommend that, you know, if there's other people of your generation who are probably single listening, would you recommend them to make that first step to sort of reach out? They may have had some issues in the past, but do you think it's worth you making the effort to have those relationships in your life?
Well, definitely. And look, not everybody has a great relationship with family. There are a lot of disconnected families these days. That I have to say, I've been very fortunate that I've had a very supportive family and friends, as I've mentioned as well. So I do keep in touch and help out as much as I can.
But I reckon, it sounds like you've made the effort for them to be supportive, right? In other words...
Well,
yeah, go.
That's both ways, doesn't it? I mean, yeah.
It certainly does. So I see Jason's got a question there.
Well,
sorry, I've got a bit off at the minute.
Oh, my God.
Now, do you need to grab something? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, Pam.
I've got the water right.
You've got, I love it. You've got your little, what's it called, minions in the background serving you, as it should be, Pam, as it should be.
Well, maybe shifting gears a bit. It sounds like it's great. You know, you've got your relationships, your family. You've got that kind of nice safety net and that you've developed over the years. Even though you've traveled long, you've had these really deep relationships with family. But maybe shifting gears a bit, what are some of the biggest kind of misconceptions about being single in your 70s that you've seen?
Well, that's a tricky one for me.
we do throw them out occasionally.
Well, misconceptions. I was talking about loneliness, but the other thing that I do want to touch on is the older we get is, you start to think, well, how many more years am I going to be left on this earth? You start thinking about that sort of thing.
And what does that do to you, Pam, when you think about that?
Yeah, well, it brings up health issues. I think you've got to start thinking about... am I doing the right things? Am I exercising enough? Am I making sure, things are all in working order?
Because you've got no one there, right? It's only yourself.
That's right. And that can be a little frightening at times. I have to say, now I'm starting to, even though I'm still hopefully, fitting well in my mind, but physically I can feel myself starting to decline a little bit. I'm being very cautious when I'm going downstairs these days. Sort of thing.
I don't want to have
a fall. I've been very fortunate that I haven't had to have any hip replacements or knee replacements. Quite a few of my friends, one close friend is in hospital right now having a second hip replacement.
Yeah, right.
But, there's those, all those sort of fears and factors come into play. They play your mind a lot.
Yeah. Pam, before we had to play a couple of songs, we were talking about keeping healthy at 70 because we have to look after ourselves, especially being single. And what do you do to remain fit and strong, Pam?
Well, yes, I try and walk every day, and obviously with my job too, I do walk around the courts, the match courts, a fair bit, so I do get 10,000 steps or more in most days.
That's great. I struggle to get 10,000 steps in my life.
You've got the apps on your phone these days. That'll help, doesn't it?
Oh my God, yes. Are you walking with apps or are you walking with a Fitbit? Or like a watch?
No, just on the phone. But
just on the phone.
Pam, do you find that technology has helped you embrace your singledom at this age?
Oh, definitely. No, and getting back to health, I would suggest to everyone to keep going to your GPs. Go and have blood tests done, because last year I wasn't too good, and we discovered that I had a small issue, which we're taking care of.
Good.
So yes, those sort of things, once we hit the magical 70, things start to go downhill, unfortunately. So we have to make sure that we're looking after ourselves, that we're eating right, we're drinking right. I'm drinking much more water than I ever used to do.
Right. Does that mean running everywhere every half hour, Pam? Because I know I am when I drink a lot of water, and I'm only in my 40s.
You have to. I mean, unfortunately, you know, you've got to. I mean, I used to. I still do enjoy the occasional drink, but I used to drink more than I'm drinking now. So I cut that out. I mean, my doctor told me recently that my liver's the best it's ever been. So yeah,
fabulous. That's good.
And Pam, before we're about to sort of finish things up, but you mentioned before about, you know, the reason why we all have to take care of ourselves. And is that when we've talked about previously having these discussions with your family at any age, because you sort of have to have those, and I know my parents in their 70s and we're sort of having those discussions, but as single people we need to be proactive in that. Have you got some advice for people to about how they can engage with their friends and family about those discussions when we are sort of heading downhill and what to do next?
Well, certainly not to be afraid to broach the subjects. Like I said, I was only actually speaking to my niece this morning saying that you know, I'm weary of, as I said before, going downstairs. Mm. I'm weary of being alone in my house and having a fall, and you know, maybe not being discovered for several days. That sort of thing.
And have you put things in place, Pam? Because I think that's what I'm hearing is that's the key, that you need to put things in place. So if these unfortunate things do happen, we have to look after ourselves. So what have you put in place for that?
We do need to put things in place, and I've actually got my brother, he's my power of attorney and guardianship.
Wonderful. So
that sort of thing. Yes, you never know. I mean, these things, I've also got a will in place, although I need to update that.
Yep. No doubt donating something to Living Life Single, right? I'm being cheeky there. That's
important because, it's tricky to, if the worst happens and you're not prepared for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It can leave a mess for those others around to clean up.
Hard conversations to have, but it sounds like you're push through them and have them.
Well, you do, Jason, and I mean, it's I think it's become easier in this day and age to broach those subjects. Whereas in the past it wasn't. Definitely, that would be my advice to a lot of folks out there listening.
Fantastic.
Definitely do that sort of thing.
Really great advice, Pam. Now, Pam, believe it or not, we are almost at the end of the show. And what we do on a weekly basis, we like to talk about some good things that have been about because we are single, and some not so good things that have been happening to us because we are single. So what I'm going to do, because you're our guests will always go at the end to give them a little bit more time to think about. So I'm going to put Jason on the hot on the spot in the hot seat. Your reflection for the week. Tell us what has been great and what hasn't been great about being single this week.
I'll start off with the bad first.
Yes, go for it.
On the note of what we were just talking about, Pam.
Yeah, right.
My mother's had a fall.
Oh, Jace.
She's been traveling as well at the moment. So she's over in Asia at the moment. And unfortunately, she's in hospital, but she's okay. She's speaking and eating and everything. But possibly needs to go into surgery. So that I'm just a bit being single and by yourself at home and letting your mind just race a bit worries me a bit. But, you know, like to your point, Pam. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Yanni's giving me a virtual hug.
Yeah.
But on Pam's point, technology does help when you're like, okay, I'm just a phone call away, I'm a text away, you know, how are you going, yada yada. So that's been my kind of bad thing.
Yeah.
But good vibes to my mom, good vibes to John, your co-host as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's getting well, and Pam, everyone's all well and healthy. Good vibes all the way.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing that happened to me this week was I have some mates who are part of this vinyl store called
Vinyl store. Jason, what kind of vinyl store are we talking about?
Oh my god, not that kind of vinyl store. Record player store.
Record players, okay.
Vinyl record players.
Did you have some LPs back in your day, Pam? A couple of LPs? You would have had a few.
Well, I'll let you into a secret. I've actually got over 600 LPs.
Oh my god. We are gonna party at your house, Pam. We'll get some DJs out. We'll get those tunes going on. I love it. Sorry, Jason.
Well,
go for it.
Well, my good thing around that was these boys have started hosting listening parties. So we listened to a vinyl at a bar that they've hired, and it's a great way to connect with people.
Hey, where was my invite?
Middle of the week. You were driving.
Fair enough. Probably not
Yanni,
good time
what
me.
About you? Sorry.
No, thank you. Look, I think for me this week, I started a new opportunity this week, and it was a bit full on, and I just didn't, when I came home, I had friends to call, but I didn't have someone to decompress with. And it was a little bit challenging, I think, just to sort of, it took me a bit of time. So that was just a little bit challenging this week. But the good thing about being single this week, I was so looking forward to this show. And I couldn't do, like, Pam, I so was excited to have you on the show and to speak with you and interview you. So, you know, for me, the pleasure of doing this show was my light at the end of the tunnel this week, because this show really excited me. So that was my good one this week. And Pam, what about you? Tell us about your week.
Been busy. I had some friends from where I used to live up on the mid-north coast. They came and visited. Hadn't seen them for 2 years, actually at my 70th birthday, so I'm letting in that I'm about to be 72.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's later in the month. So they came and visited, and that was great. So that was really lovely to have hosted them and seen them. But also, the good thing that I enjoy is that I have the freedom to do and go wherever and whatever I want.
Love
and
it.
And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that. So, I don't have anything bad to tell you, though.
Good.
So, that's fabulous.
We love it.
That's fabulous.
We love it. Pam, you've been absolute delight to have this. I could feel I could talk to you for hours, Pam. I think we've barely scratched the surface today. I've got so many more questions, but I want to thank you. Thank you so much for being our special guest on today's show, Pam. We couldn't have done it without you. And it's been a wonderful week. So, Pam, thank you so much. And to everyone, we will bid farewell and speak to you next week. See you later.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Living Life Single, where being single means you're never by yourself. Tune in next week and remember to catch the podcast at joy.org.au/livinglifesingle.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.